today on Real Radio.
If God loves both husband and wife, and wife is being abused by the husband, when I say abuse, in the context of what we're discussing, mm-hmm. he's pushing her around, she's threatened, she's physically threatened, yeah. then God would not have you put up with that. That's something where you seek help.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called Real Marriage. It's a series that takes a break from the norm to discuss the definition of marriage in an interview setting. God ordained marriage, so it's important to spend time on God's plan for coming together as one. Today, Pastor Jack, his wife Lisa, and myself, David Jay, we're going to talk about dealing with abuse. Now, this is a difficult and oftentimes painful subject, because we could be dealing with both emotional and physical harm. There is so much collateral damage that could be involved, so taking the proper steps is extremely important. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Is abuse in marriage a common thing in the church?
Well, we need to define abuse because
okay,
it's going
let's do
to
that.
Be,
sure.
I mean, the person that is on the receiving end, no matter what it might be, they'll be labeling it as abuse. So mm-hmm. I think we need to look at what are we talking about? We're talking about physical abuse, mental abuse, you know, child abuse taking place in the home.
Okay.
So we need to start there.
Let's define that.
Yeah, we need to find out what is the abuse that I may be going through. Because let's be honest, emotionally, if Lisa's not having a good day, I feel like I'm abused. if she didn't say thank you to me because I made her coffee, gee, I'm not taking I'm being taken for granted or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm being abused. That's not what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. We're talking about let's just go for it this way. Physical abuse, where you are being manhandled, you are being physically abused. That number one obviously is abuse. It's illegal, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's not only unbiblical, it's illegal. And a lot of women, though, and I've even known some men who were abused by their wives, but they'll put up with it because they think, well, this is what I'm, A, supposed to do, or B, I don't want to get him in trouble because who's going to make the house payment? Mm-hmm. Or C, I'm going to stick together, or I'm going to put up with this for the kids. But this is like having a python in your home. Mm-hmm. It's eventually going to make its way to every room. So I'm addressing right now the physical abuse. It's blatant, obvious physical abuse.
Right. Do you see it much in the church? Honestly?
I don't see much of it in the church. I think with Lisa dealing with women in the church, she might be more aware of that.
I see a lot of it, but it is there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think there's more probably what would be labeled emotional abuse versus physical. Mm-hmm. It is there. Physical's there, definitely. But but sometimes even when the woman comes in, if there has been an argument or something, it's kind of mutual abuse physically.
Yeah, yeah.
They've gotten into an altercation, but both of them were at fault. So, I mean, I've had women admit that. Well, yeah, I pushed him and then he pushed me or whatever. So it wasn't like abuse in the case where, like you said, manhandling, where it's just him constantly. I think if it is in the church, I don't know that many women voice it. It could be shame, could have been that's what they grew up in, and so they married a guy like their dad, and now, you know what I mean? It's just kind of what you do because that's what they watched their mother do. Very sad situation. Sometimes, you know, you can kind of pinpoint a woman. You can kind of see if she's been beaten down emotionally, and that could be an emotional abuse or physical, but you kind of just see her where she doesn't have an opinion. She just doesn't say anything, and it's sad, very sad.
Does the Bible say much about abuse in a marriage?
I don't know if it's, it doesn't say abuse, but the Bible makes it very clear that the value of an individual God holds in the greatest esteem, meaning translating easily. It doesn't take a theologian to figure this out. If God loves both husband and wife is being abused by the husband, when I say abuse, in the context of what we're discussing, he's pushing her around, she's threatened, she's physically threatened, then God would not have you put up with that. That's something where you seek help. If you feel, and this is something that none of us can answer for, if this woman believes that she is in physical danger.
Mm-hmm. Or her children.
Or her children. Yeah. She needs to get out of that house. She needs to let the right people know. Yeah. And it needs to be fixed. If that man doesn't seek help and make a very eager path to getting himself repaired and close to God, if it continues, then she needs to then contact the authorities.
Yeah.
And this is, I know a woman's not going to want to do this because she starts, her mind goes immediately to, oh, great, then Child Protection is going to come in and take my kids away from me. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily.
Right.
But she needs to get this, she needs to get the, we use the term circle the wagons. Mm-hmm. She needs to circle the wagons to protect herself and the kids.
Right.
Because if this guy is off the rails, as it were, he has a temper that's not controllable. She needs to circle the wagons, get the right authorities involved, and every time he acts up, she needs to expand the cost of his antics. Mm. In other words, go to mom and dad's house or a good friend's house first. If he does it again, contact your local authorities. Seriously, because this is something that could lead to the maiming or even death of a child or someone.
Right. Yes, you say the right people. Go to get the right people.
Yeah.
Who are they? I'd be interested to see what the steps are. I mean, it's a brand. Let's say it's a brand new thing. A wife is just starting to be abused.
Yeah.
In the church.
If I were that wife, I would say, if you touch me again like that, mm-hmm. I will absolutely have you pay for that. Mm-hmm. Well, what is that supposed to mean? Don't tempt me. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, you treat me with respect. You're outside the line here on this. You're an offense to God. Don't do that to me again. This is a warning. Mm-hmm. And if he does it again, then listen, you go to, there'll be godly people in your community that you should know. If you don't know them.
Or go to a church, a pastor, tell them.
Go to a good church.
Go find them.
Yeah.
Just don't pull up at some church and get some counseling and then go on your way. It may be that they didn't tell you the right thing. It may be that, they meant well, but it was more of human wisdom rather than biblical wisdom.
Yeah.
The Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. But go to a church that's known for teaching the Bible and start there if you don't attend one.
I remember years ago hearing, I think I read the story actually, but this woman had married a man who she knew had had an abusive background himself. His father beat him. So in turn, he was an angry man, but she loved him, fell in love with him. And she told him, don't ever, ever hit me or do anything. Well, after they'd been married, a year or something, he got angry and he hit her. And she said, she looked at him and she said, that is the first and last time you will ever do that to me.
But that takes somebody
But listen, he never did it again.
Yeah.
So they were married 50, 60 years.
Okay.
And she said that because he knew that she would leave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you're starting to say that takes some strength.
Yeah.
And it does. And a lot of women who marry men who are abusive, they've been abused. And so they don't have that kind of unction within them, and that's why the importance of telling someone that you have been abused, it's huge. And I know the fear factor comes in because the guy may have threatened her. That's very common that he'll say he'll kill her if she ever reports him, if she ever goes. But it is so important because now there's accountability with other people that now this has really happened, and with a police report and all those things. But family, if there's no family, then like we're saying, go to a church or go to a shelter, go somewhere. Do not put up with it. And especially kids too, don't ever put up and watch your kids get abused. Because I deal with the women who are now grown, who were abused as children, and their mother did nothing. And it's like,
It'll stop. He won't do it again.
That's got to stop. If somebody who's watching right now, they know of a situation like that, I can't stress enough, that has to end today.
Yeah. So let me throw this out there.
Yeah.
What about the person that says, but we're Christians, we're supposed to turn the other cheek, literally.
What do you mean? What's the?
I'm not gonna
make him change?
Right, exactly.
Oh, no, that's not what that verse means.
Or forgive, just forgive him. He hits you, just forgive him.
I would come right back to that person and say, number one, that's not what the verse means. Number two, the Bible says, commands that a man love his wife as Christ loves the church, period.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start there. Don't give me that other verse out of context.
Right.
Let's start with this. The husband and the wife are to love one another as Christ loves the church and be submissive to one another in the fear of the Lord. We'll start with that. The problem comes when a person has lost, and it could be emotional, like Lisa said. Mm-hmm. This man could have been brought up in a very abusive environment, and so that's the way he deals with things. This is why the Holy Spirit is all powerful to bring. Now look, it's a battle. Every day it's a battle, but the Holy Spirit is powerful enough to bring that man or that woman's temper under control. The weakness is us. He's all power. We just need to make sure that we are going to him and connecting to that power source.
It seems to me, my wife and I were on vacation a week or so ago, and we were on the beach, and I'm looking down at the sand, and I started thinking about the fact that God knows mm-hmm. where every grain, I push the sand just slightly with mm-hmm. my toe, and God knows what happened to every single one of those mm-hmm. grains of sand. Mm-hmm. And it dawned on me that if we are, you know, as men to treat our wife as Jesus, you know, treated the church, right. mm-hmm. how precious, how much yeah. more precious even yeah. than that little grain
yeah.
of sand.
Yeah.
Why would I even go there?
Yeah. He says, my thoughts toward you are as numerous as the sands of the sea. You know, the Bible says, Davey, in 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Mm. So if a man is not providing love for the house and care and tenderness for the house, he's worse than an unbeliever. If a man is not providing an environment that the wife or the kids feel safe, then he's worse than an unbeliever. Malachi chapter 2, verse 13 says, and this is the second thing you do. God is indicting the nation of Israel. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard your offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Hmm. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant, which is more than a contract, covenant.
Yeah.
Deeper, bigger. But did not make them one, having a remnant of the spirits. And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce. For, listen, it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously.
Treacherously is a big word.
Yeah,
that's a vicious word. Yeah. It's huge.
What would you say to the person that says, I've gone too far. I can't. There's no coming back. Talk to the person that's actually doing the
abuser
and says, I'm just too far gone. I can't come back. There's nothing I can do.
Actually, if we could get more abusers to come to that point.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Would be nice?
Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
Most of them deny.
Yeah, most of them deny, and then not only deny, but they justify their situation.
Right.
It's just, it's nuts. But boy, I tell you, if you've got somebody who is now an abuser saying, I think I've gone too far. Hey, praise the Lord. They have a conscience.
Yeah.
God may be speaking
hope.
To them.
Yeah.
There's hope for somebody who starts to see their sin.
Yeah.
There's no hope.
Confess it, that's huge.
Yeah, there's no hope for somebody who does not see their sin. There's no hope, literally, no hope.
Yeah, and always blaming, well, she did that or they did this and it made me mad and that's why I did that.
She's mean. She talks mean, so
Is there a difference? You just said he talks mean. Is there a difference between... I mean, obviously, there are physical differences. Is there a difference between physical abuse and emotional abuse?
Sure.
Talk to me about that.
Yeah, you know, before we answer that, maybe we need to make this clear.
Okay.
Because you've had people come to you. I've had people come to me and say, I'm going to get a divorce. My husband's abusive. Well, number one, the Bible says that's not a grounds for a divorce.
Okay. Isn't that wild?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But number two, what's the abuse? Most often, it's actually not physical most often.
Right.
Really?
Most often, the response is, he's mean, crude, rude, he's unthoughtful, he's unthankful.
It sounds like me on a regular day.
You know what I mean?
I hate to admit it, but to some degree, that's true.
Yeah.
It's very, you know, listen, I don't want to discount anyone's terrible plight, but the situation is often labeled as an abusive situation, and thereby I'm justified to divorce this person. No, you're not. And listen, everyone goes through tough times. Mm-hmm. Everyone. So again, the Word of God is the answer as to how to navigate that time.
It is.
So the woman that comes to you, Lisa and says, I'm emotionally abused. Is there some sort of a process that you go through to maybe identify whether this woman really is emotionally abused or she's just having a bad day?
I ask a lot of questions,
yeah.
So I'll start digging into what is going on in the home on a daily basis kind of a thing. And generally we'll end up back with where maybe she's erring in her attitude. Not that I'm blaming her. I'm just saying it takes two to tango so often. And if we're talking about, there's so many other factors too. The man could be unsaved.
Yeah.
Okay, so that could be one factor. Yeah. We've got Abigail in the Bible who's married to Nabal, who's a fool.
Yeah.
His name means fool. And he's a drunk and he's, you know, this horrible man and she's this godly woman. How did she handle the issues living with a man who's a fool?
Yeah.
So when we look at that according to the Word of God, it's very convicting. I like to look at that because how she handles this man who is rude, and everybody knows he's rude, and I don't know, maybe he was abusive in some regards emotionally, not sure. But, always comes back to me, what can I be doing as, you know, is she just got a bad attitude every day because that's the tone she's setting there because he's in a bad mood? So Abigail didn't do that. She didn't react. You know, in Romans it says, Paul said, don't render evil for evil.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm in this spiral, because so often we just feed each other negativity.
Yeah.
And of course this is a horrible home now. But if one can start to change the attitude, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Things can slowly start to, and even in 1 Peter it says that the conduct of the wife can win the husband over by her character, by her peaceful attitude, not her aggressive tit for tat or just coming back at him, you know, calling him names and pushing him. And if that's what's going on in the home, then really there isn't any hope for this home. But most women will receive that counsel and it's like, oh gosh, I mean, they realize, you know what, I'm not handling this right.
Well,
I need to work on myself.
And she
too.
Just touched on the key for this.
What's that?
Because someone's listening right now saying, oh, Lisa, believe me, neither one of us are going to change.
Right.
It only takes one to change.
Yeah, exactly.
Not both.
Yeah.
Well, then how's that going to happen? Because look, let's take someone's position. They have real justifiable hurts. She or he has been a real horrible jerk to me. Everything that he's done is true. And she's really hurt. She's justifiably hurt.
Mm-hmm.
God is not saying, suck it up. He's saying, and this is bizarre, this is so anti-human wisdom. Do you want your marriage to work? Yeah, it's just terrible, but yes, okay. Then do you understand that what you're feeling towards your husband and pain and sorrow and all this stuff, do you understand that your sins have done that to me? Jesus is speaking.
Wow, yeah.
Your sins have done that to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you say, how in the world can this be a help? You're throwing salt into the cut. Hang on a moment, because if she's being abused and she says we're beyond repair, but it only takes one to change and she doesn't think he's the guy that's going to change, then the Lord is going to say, okay, daughter of God, then you be the one to change. But I'm really hurt. And God would say, yeah, you're all right. But guess what? You hurt me too. You put me on the cross with your sins. Recognize that your sins put me on the cross. Can we start there? Yes. Okay, as we start with this, have I not forgiven you? Yes. Do I not work with you every day? Yes. Okay, then let's you and I gang up on your husband and we'll start to reach him together.
Yeah.
Because now God would say, I'm obviously paraphrasing all this, God can now say, as you now choose to obey me, I'm going to ask you to love your husband by action. Don't say anything, just love him by action. And together we'll win him over because obedience is always going to be the powerhouse of fixing this marriage.
Mm.
It will take some time.
Mm-hmm.
He will begin to melt. Love conquers a multitude of sin. Someone on the other end of this computer screen or camera right now is saying, that's insane.
Yeah.
I have to admit,
yeah.
According to the way the wisdom of the world is, it is insane.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But the world doesn't work. God works.
Yeah.
And God says, this is how I do it.
What do you say to the person that comes to you now that's watching on the program right now? That's it. We can't do this anymore. It's done. It's over. I've counseled. All the counsel I get is, he's not going to stop. She's not going to stop. It's time to move on. We have to divorce. Where do you go?
Well, Jesus said it. The scriptures say it. Unless there's adultery, sexual immorality, the Bible says, then there's no grounds for divorce. This is what the scripture says. There's only one area in 1 Corinthians 7. There the Bible says, if a believer is married to an unbeliever, and the unbeliever is fine to live with the believer, then it says to the believer, you cannot divorce the unbeliever. But if the unbeliever wishes to depart from the believer, remember, God holds no standard of the unbeliever. They're lost. They're mm-hmm. gone. They're not mm-hmm. in the family. Mm-hmm. If the unbeliever says to the believer, you know what? I've had enough of you and your Jesus. I'm gone. The Bible says the unbeliever is to bid them farewell, pack them a lunch, seal it up, and send them off. There's freedom in that. That person can remarry again. Outside of that clause in the Bible, only sexual immorality.
For divorce.
For divorce.
If the husband, the scenario you hit is that the man is not changing. Maybe he's even gone to counseling. He won't. And he's abusing her or kids. I would still counsel a woman to move out, not mm-hmm. divorce him. Move out. Might be 10 years she's out, but don't divorce him because you don't have any biblical grounds as a Christian.
Got it. You can't.
But you don't date. You don't remarry. You don't try to finagle. You are just in the situation
and
you're
God
in.
And God knows it.
Yep, that's right. It stinks.
That's the thing.
But you do the godly right thing, and guess what?
Do the godly thing.
God will bless, because I'm going to go back to Nabal. Abigail did the right thing. You know what God did to Nabal? God killed Nabal. Mm. Nabal died. Abigail ended up marrying David, the king. So God, because she was such a witness to David.
She was not only such a witness.
Amazing.
Abigail, David wanted to kill Nabal for being just such a rotten guy, and she actually interceded
on
behalf of her knucklehead husband.
Yeah, I would have been you know what, David? He's over in that field, because she had every opportunity.
And David rides up in a horse, and remember, it's David. I mean, he's like super handsome. He's commanding an army, and she's married to a jerk.
Right.
And she didn't say, hi, Davey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, she said, you know what? Don't sin by killing my husband. He's just a nut. And he's a fool. Don't conduct yourself wrongly.
Right.
She counsels David.
Something you said just a minute ago. God knows.
He knows.
That's he knows what's going on. God does know. Yeah, but my situation is so such and such. You can't tell God what your situation is.
He knows more than you do.
I love what you said at the beginning. You said that you were sitting in the sand with your wife and you flicked the sand. He knows the sand, and you flicked it, and he knew where it was going to land.
Yeah.
He knew that you were going to flick the sand before you flicked it,
mm-hmm.
and he knows it all.
He knows. Mm-hmm.
And people need to remember that in marriage, God has the fix and he knows everything. And look, no matter how bad your marriage is, the awesome thing is this. If you let God heal it, then it becomes a great testimony to the working power of God. And so find a Bible teaching church in your area. Get committed to getting great counsel. And chances are, if it goes with your feelings, that is, if you get counsel that emboldens your feelings, it's probably the wrong counsel.
Good point.
Usually great biblical counsel will kind of upset you. It'll kind of unnerve you a little bit. You'll know it's right, but it doesn't feel right because your feelings are going to be screaming at you to do what you think is right, but the Bible has already been written. God's got the answer.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a presentation called Dealing with Abuse. Thank you for listening to today's segment. Our hope is that in all things, especially in dealing with abuse and the fear and hurt that it causes, that we'll go to our power source, the Holy Spirit. Today's interview was just one in a series called Real Marriage, a series that looks at how God has a plan for marriage and how His plan works. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Did you know that you can get the entire DVD set of the Real Marriage series for a gift of any amount to this ministry? The Real Marriage DVD set is a collection of discussion-based programs to help provide a solid foundation for a healthy, God-honoring marriage. Get yours today by getting a hold of us through our website. Here's the web address, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.